Advent is something that happens in us and around us, and I think you'll agree that it happened and is happening right here as Christ visits us through those who lead us this morning. And we are so grateful to our youth who have led us in so many forms already this morning, and especially want to call our attention back to those words of Mary that were read for us earlier by Sue and Susanna, and then acted out for us by Laura, and then given such fullness of life by our youth choir. We are grateful, and we gather ourselves again around this song, and as we do, will you join me in a word of prayer? Our God, we have sensed what is so true, that you are drawing near to our weary world and laying hold of us once more, and we thank you for all the ways we have experienced it this morning, and ask that you might stay near now and speak to us anew. Help us to sing as you would have us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In our sermons and in our services this Advent, we are remembering and rehearsing songs of this season that we find throughout Scripture, and none is any more vital than our song for today, this song of Mary. We know it as the Magnificat, after the first word in the Latin translation, meaning "my soul magnifies." The text of this song was one of the earliest Christian hymns. It was a critical part of medieval Christian worship services. In some cathedrals and college chapels throughout Europe, it is still sung in some form daily. It's a song that has been set to music more than any other text in the Gospel of Luke, with compositions by the likes of Bach and Mozart and Monteverdi and Palestrina. But the question comes to us again this Advent: can we sing it? Can we sing with Mary? Oh, I know that we can sing. Our lives move rapidly through the December bustle to the rhythm of a festive soundtrack, toes tapping along, whether navigating holiday traffic, searching for the perfect gift, or pushing a stroller downtown at the Festival of Lights, or taking in the candle tea, or having another round of eggnog at another holiday party. All the while, we're humming along to a holiday loop. We can sing. We remember that so powerfully when we gather in worship throughout Advent, like this morning, inspired once more by our music ministry and our youth and the songs that are sung here. And we are, throughout the season of Advent, so inspired through the lighting of the candles, the hanging of banners, the gradual momentum of the season, reenacting once more the Christmas story right here in our church, sitting with the shepherds and traveling with the wise men, anticipating with Mary and maybe sharing in Joseph's uncertainty. And the carols that we sing free up our imagination, and they take us to different places, and we're able to enter the story through the songs and find ourselves humming along to the deep and abiding power of the incarnation anew this year, all the way up to Christmas Eve as we light the Christ candle and we remember that moment when God became like us, and we sing Silent Night with candles held high passed throughout our sanctuary. We can sing. But can we sing with Mary? For Mary's is a different song, and we can't quite carry her tune. We'll leave it out of our caroling repertoire next week on our caroling night as a congregation, and it wouldn't play too well in the front porches of most neighborhoods anyway. You won't hear it over the loudspeaker while shopping. The Lord has sent the rich away empty, and thank you for shopping at Macy's. That wouldn't work too well. Yes, Mary brings us good news of great joy, but also slight discomfort. Hear it again. The Lord has scattered those who were arrogant in the thoughts of their heart. The Lord has pulled down the mighty from their thrones. The Lord has lifted up those who were humiliated. The Lord has filled the hungry with good things. The Lord has sent the rich away empty.
Fa la 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 la.
No, it's a different song. It's a difficult song. And we're still rehearsing it all of these years later. We have yet to perfect it or take it up ourselves. And it's much like the Christmas story itself in that way. The story of God being born in our midst, it can so often be a once upon a time affair for us. A romantic story that we can set up on the end table. A popular story fit for the big screen, and sometimes we can leave it at that. The distant, sentimental, little town, silent night, once upon a time. But not Mary's song. In this season, when so much is meant to affirm us, to reassure us, Mary sings this difficult carol, a song that shouts, when God shows up in your midst, things are going to change. One theologian, Letty Russell, has called this the song of God's great reversal. All is reversed. The world turns upside down and inside out. Dark becoming light, oppression giving way to justice, death being made into life, and tears flowing into rivers of great laughter. This is what Mary is singing about. Unless we forget, this was not a song that she sung merely with great joy, but also, and even more so, I think, with lingering fear. Do not be afraid, the angel Gabriel had said to her when announcing the coming birth. Fear might not be the common tone that we associate with the story of Christ coming into our world, but notice just how many times that phrase, do not be afraid, appears in the stories of Jesus' birth. To a young virgin, to an expectant husband, to shepherds keeping watch, do not fear. It's part of why Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in a 1928 sermon, suggested that the tenderness of the incarnation has left people unable to, in Bonhoeffer's words, feel the shiver of fear that God's coming should arouse in us. Bonhoeffer's sense was that we have domesticated the reality of a God who, in his words, draws near to the people of our little earth and lays claim to us. And in our text today, Mary felt that shiver. Not only at the power, but also at all of the possibility, the cost, the challenge that it was to her well-made plans, and the urgency that she must have felt at the invitation before her, perhaps fear of what it could mean for her already tenuous existence. And you can feel the pause there. And it's pregnant with possibility as we, as all of us, wait for Mary's answer. Even amidst the divine plan so grand, it is her choice whether to use her voice and sing, whether to take hold of what the angel held out to her, or whether to defend herself, to put her guard up against it however she could. It's her choice whether to step forward into it, or whether to claim an alibi or an excuse and retreat into all that has been previously laid out. And we wait for her answer. And even God seems to wait in the story. According to ancient Christian writers, creation waits. The angels wait. So much waiting, and we do too. We wait for hope to be enlivened and history changed. We wait for an unimaginable future for all people, a future that comes from God, for all nations assembling in justice, compassion, and gratitude. We wait for salvation created among us and the fate of history altered by God come near. We wait, and our world waits still once again this year for that kind of song, for those notes and those lyrics. And can we sing it? Do they hear us singing it boldly, loudly? Well, I think the truth is we've never quite been able to form our lips around all of the words that Mary sings. We've never had it roll off of our tongues. We can't reach some of the high notes. We've never found the breath to stretch out the tones long enough for generations as Mary could. We don't always sing along with Mary, maybe because we know too much about the world, don't we? Maybe we know too much of that paralyzing fear. Mary tells us of a world of justice and change, but our experience in it tells us something very different. Some of the mighty still overpower and humiliate the lowly. The hungry struggle daily to survive famine, drought, preventable disease, and we see more and more evidence all the time, it seems, of hatred, of violence. Just another day in America. That was the lead-in from the BBC coverage of this week's tragic shooting in San Bernardino, California. Our music once again interrupted with an urgent news bulletin. Our Advent once more pierced with violence, extremism, absurdity. And then came all of the familiar arguments and talking points quickly shouted from both sides of the cable news split screen. As many of you noticed, I'm sure, one of the ways that this tension is being worked out in its latest iteration is in a highly charged debate about prayer. What is the purpose, the meaning, the function of prayer? For as some offered thoughts and prayers, others cried back that action is what's needed, not what some termed meaningless prayer. In the midst of that kind of tension, we strain this morning, we lean in and we listen again for Mary's song, which was in its own way sung out boldly amidst the terror and the fear and the oppression of her own day, amidst the tenuous hand-to-mouth existence of a young peasant girl. Amidst the great fear that existed for one unwed and pregnant, what does it mean? What does it do? Is it just an empty platitude? For what Mary sings is a prayer, and it is sung out with the confidence that our voices rising to God matter. It is sung out with belief and boldness, for she believes these words that she sings so much that she sings them in the past tense, as though all that she hopes for will be complete already. Even though she lives in a world where the Roman Empire dominates Israel, she sings still of God pulling down the power brokers from their thrones. And even as she lives hand to mouth and watches others suffer through famine, she knows the hungry are being filled with the good things of God, just like her ancestors who wandered in that wilderness. With the birth of Messiah, Mary knows that everything will be different, that all can change, that those who abuse wealth and power will be sent away, those hungry and disregarded filled up, all from the mere promise of this baby. She sings, you see, because she believes it. But if you sing that kind of song long enough and loudly enough, sooner or later it becomes something even more than a prayer or a song, and that belief starts to produce some action, starts to take on life. For the world waits for this song, and the world needs our prayers, but in the same way the world needs those of us who will sing it, it waits for all of us who will act it out. For the powerful one has done great things for me, Mary sings. For me, most translations say, but we can also translate it in a different way. Great things in me. For it's happening within her. Well, why does she sing, and how does she sing with so much boldness and confidence? It's because she's part of that story. God's grand plan of incarnation tied up in her tiny life. God's plan to inhabit the earth happening through her, through the natural process of birth, through 9 months of pregnancy, through grueling early morning hours behind a Bethlehem inn, God putting on swaddling clothes, making a home with us through a human being. And if we sing with Mary, then we start to learn not only her words, but also her actions. When we take up her hopes, when we make them our own, we realize that the coming, the birth of Christ's love in this world, is not about a distant little town or a long ago silent night that we sing about. No, Advent is not something that happens to us or around us only, but in us and through us. Advent is not something that happened once upon a time, but something that happens again and again and again. And Mary's song is her commitment to give her life to it. And that's what the world is waiting for. One who believes it and one who commits her life to it amidst all the fear, the risk, the challenge. Do not be afraid, the angel says. Which is to say, this is the work of God in this world, Mary. This is what Advent means, Mary. This is what it looks like. Oh, we know so well the soundtrack of the season with its reassuring themes. And we delight in the sanctuary with candles lit and joy swelling in four-part harmony. But God doesn't come there. Not at first. God comes to those who are yearning for something more. God comes to those who are willing to imagine what this world can yet be. God comes to the backside of an inn in an occupied land to a family on the run who must have felt so desperate trying to comfort their baby in an animal trough. God comes to Mary. And as God comes, God finds her voice is ringing out with this song, that her life is taking on its motions. Her confidence in what God has done is there. God finds her belief in what God will do. And God finds her commitment that what she projects with her voice, she will also carry in her own body. And that's what Mary sings once more this year. Will God find us singing along?